Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and today I am talking to the team from New Hampshire that was participating in the Delta PrEP initiative, which was an effort to be able to bring primary prevention of domestic violence to 19 different states, and New Hampshire was one of them. And so I'm really pleased to be able to have Anna Hernandez, who's the program director at the New Hampshire Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, and Robin Christofferson, who is the executive director of the Monadic Center for Violence Prevention. And she's the executive director there. So how are you doing, Robin and Anna?
Great, thanks. Fine, thank you very much.
You have a great story to talk about the work that you've been doing over the last several years, where having policy and then working to take advantage of ways to be able to make that policy really strengthen the prevention efforts that are happening in New Hampshire. Robin, maybe you can start us in the background and have the two of you tell us about the work that was happening in New Hampshire.
One of the things that we were endeavoring to accomplish through our Delta PrEP work plan, which started, I think, in the second year of that funding course, was to partner with our New Hampshire Department of Education, which previously was a relationship not formally forged with our state coalition, nor necessarily with member programs, as our State Department of Education is a little different, and the way that it works locally is a little different than some other states, as is our Department of Public Health, which is really not a full Department of Public Health in New Hampshire. So we were in a little different position than some of our colleagues that we met through Delta PrEP. At the same time that we were asked to build in a couple of outcomes for our work plan, we had some legislation in New Hampshire that was passed. One was an anti-bullying legislative piece for schools. And so we decided that we were going to try to take advantage of that opportunity to try to build a relationship with the Department of Education via helping to be part of a guidance document. It was a model that had been already done in our state for Title IX through another entity. So that was what we started with our work plan. Our ability to forge that relationship as easily as we thought we were going to with the Department of Education did not come to fruition in that way. So then the guidance document became an internal document, and we really felt it was a great outcome, not our original outcome. We sort of were feeling a little dismayed that we were unable to forge that relationship with the Department of Education. However, the secondary outcome and the need that our member programs asked for some help to sort of lend credence and credential them with their local education entities was still a good outcome for us, and it was a good exercise for us in a group writing. Then we sort of thought that we were going to be back to square one with the Department of Education, and then I'll let Anna take over with the rest of the story with the Department of Education.
What happened next was something that I've heard Robin refer to any number of times as a form of serendipity. In the middle of this year of 2011, our 30-year executive director retired, and the coalition hired an interim executive director. And so within the first few weeks of her being there, the Delta PrEP team sat down with Amy, that is the interim executive director, to give her just a debrief of the project and a status update. And when we were talking about this process with the guidance document, she mentioned to us that she is a member of a local school board here in New Hampshire and has particularly good relationships with three of the different superintendents. And so would she like for us to speak to these superintendents about, you know, this particular project, to which, of course, we said, absolutely. She had a meeting with the superintendents who were extraordinarily interested and supportive, and then requested permission to speak to the commissioner of the Department of Education here in New Hampshire. And, of course, we said, by all means, please do, and how can we help you? And, you know, went back and forth in terms of providing some background and materials and that sort of thing. The department commissioner was extraordinarily interested and supportive also, and assigned us someone who was instructed to essentially do anything and everything that she deemed appropriate and helpful to both school personnel as well as, you know, utilizing and highlighting member program expertise and resources in the state. And one thing that was of interest to me in terms of just an indicator of the level of interest and commitment on part of the Department of Education. April, the staff person assigned to us, is a former Planned Parenthood educator also, and, you know, she was the one at our first meeting who invoked terminology and issues like power and control and like gender-based bullying and just, you know, these sorts of different things that have been near and dear to our hearts for some time. So it was a real pleasure.
It's interesting to see how you describe this process, you know, starting by working with developing a relationship with the school district and then with the Department of Education, and then through serendipity, being able to have linkages and those linkages. And then when you met with people, what do you attribute to why they got so interested in working with you for to go into these next steps?
I can think of, this is Anna, I can think of a couple answers very quick to that. Number one being programs have been doing anti-bullying and related work in their local communities for years now. And so to be able to speak even briefly to that is pretty impressive. The other piece, too, is that New Hampshire, as have many states, is facing extraordinary budgetary just shifts and constrictions and so on and so forth. And Department of Education has not been immune to that. And so they, my sense is that they are looking at community partners a bit, looking to community partners perhaps a bit more and a bit differently than might have been practice in the past. And so when they had a certain level of expertise and knowledge in staff, they could very quickly identify a similar level of expertise and interest on the part of member programs and coalition staff.
And so, I mean, so it's really a great opportunity of, as conditions change and with your interest in being able to strengthen your prevention work with the youth in New Hampshire and their interest in being able to best serve the needs of the students to improve their, with limited resources, then suddenly you have a new opportunity arise.
Absolutely. And I would say that at least at the coalition level, you know, Robin can at least forecast perhaps a little bit more of what this will look like in terms of the member programs. I know that at the coalition it's required a shift in focus for us. We were doing a couple of other things for our Delta prep work that we made the strategic decision would be put on hold so that we could continue these meetings with April, because she came to the table very much, you know, with some very concrete ideas and action steps. For example, Department of Education puts on regular regional trainings for district and school personnel and staff, and she wanted member programs and, you know, or if needed, coalition staff to be able to train and facilitate as regularly as we can figure it out at these regional trainings. So that's very much a very immediate and very pretty big shift for us right there.
That's great. And so in some ways you're making your impact on the, you know, on the statewide level to be able to really create the environment where you can strengthen the school district to be able to address the issues of bullying and gender-based violence in their work.
That is the hope. I can say that the coalition will do what we can to facilitate that process, but at the end of the day, it would be ideal if member program educators could develop and provide these trainings and facilitated workshops and that sort of thing at these regional trainings. And so it really will come down also to questions of member program capacity.
You know, and this speaks to me when we look at primary prevention, and so much of our primary prevention efforts has been focused on the local programs, as you described, that have been working with students for years and years in our schools. And the added value that what I'm hearing from your describing is now you're beginning to look at it from a institutional level of how the institution, we can train these people within the schools to be able to help strengthen and reinforce and be consistent with this type of work that we're also doing in the local activities.
Nicely put. Thank you, David.
So, Robin, from a local perspective, can you talk about where you see some of these shifts and how it's strengthened the local prevention efforts?
Well, our program has been very active in doing prevention work. And so getting, more acquainted with primary prevention and sort of the public health model has just, let's say it's increased our vocabulary and our knowledge. You know, lately, our local, college that's part of the University of New Hampshire system here, Keene State College, has increased their public health courses here. So we've been going into the Intro to Public Health classes here on a regular basis this first term of college, where, you know, now we have a little bit more of a common language to use when we're going in there. As far as capacity issues, you know, one of the goals that I've set as the director here is that when I'm finished, which is approximately in about 10 years or so, if we look at retirement age, that actually half of our resources will be going to prevention work, where now it's a little bit lopsided, as it has been, I think, with a lot of, you know, member programs who started off doing direct service and intervention work. So that's my goal here, and we're already, you know, having a problem keeping, you know, one full-time and one part-time staff member doing the prevention work just because of the situation that we're in, and it's in these funding cycles that we're up against. So we'll see.
Throughout the country that we're facing the challenges of the funding, but that raises once again the value of the work that both of you have been talking about of how do we engage with other partners and find ways to find that common ground, because we know that the prevention of gender-based violence and power-based violence is absolutely aligned with improving the outcomes for our communities, for the youth in our communities, and for communities overall, and that if we want to be able to do that, we're going to have to be able to address these issues along with other issues. And I appreciate what started with getting this funding and then taking advantage of the opportunities as anti-bullying legislation. I think there was also some teen dating violence resolution that happened in New Hampshire around this time.
Right, which is waiting to be a law, but in New Hampshire they cannot legislate anything that they're not funding in the school system, so until they have funding to do it, but it's sort of hanging there waiting for that to happen now.
It sounds like it's your next opportunity to
yes.
be able to help move forward. So that's really great, and it's important as you've been able to think on that policy piece. So any lesson learned that you would want to share with other prevention practitioners about how to be able to advance some of the prevention efforts within their state or their community?
I think one of the lessons learned for me, this is Anna, is talk to anybody who will listen to you, just in terms of, I'm glad that we took the opportunity to debrief our interim executive director so very thoroughly. You know, I'm glad that we took the opportunity to bring in as many people and set aside an entire afternoon to talk to April from the Department of Education, to also be able to find out so much about her that I don't think would have happened in a quick email introduction or, you know, a quick phone chat or anything like that. It was so very clear to me, like, that was such a quick turnaround. That was purely, in a lot of ways, coincidence that this happened, and it's happened to a degree I don't think that any of us had been expecting when we wrote this out and planned it and made scheduled phone calls and tried to contact the appropriate people and so on in our first go-round.
The plan is important, but then it's also how can we create new opportunities to be able to move forward. Robin, do you have any lesson learned that you've gotten?
The prevention work is not a fast, easy fix. A plan is one thing, and it can get you on a course and get you talking, but I think that it's being in it for the long haul and understanding that that's what it is. It's a commitment, and not to get dismayed, because I felt dismayed because I had made a lot of phone calls to the Department of Education, but all was not lost because all of the guidance document took on a little bit of a different lens for us. It was a great exercise, and then the opportunity that a relationship brought to us was probably better than what we would have ever gotten had we been successful in our original attempt. So I think it's just being in it for the long haul and getting some foundational work done and chugging away.
This is actually the second conversation I've had with someone where that was the answer. Think long term, and allowing the luxury to be able to think long term allows us to be able to make some changes that if you're trying to look at in 6 months or 1 year that you often can't get to. Thank you so much. So I've been talking with Anna Hernandez, who's the program director at the New Hampshire Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, and Robin Christofferson, the executive director of the Monadic Center for Violence Prevention, and they are part of the Delta Prep team in New Hampshire. And thank you for sharing your experiences. Look forward to learning about how this proceeds in the next coming years.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.